This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, with you here for another week, 3 for 3. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to annoy you, aren't I, as I continue to do that all throughout the summer. I almost do it as a way to check myself, to make sure we put out a podcast each and every week throughout the summer months, because it gets easy in the fall. In the summer, we've got a lot going on. We've got NBA playoffs happening, Stanley Cup, et cetera, et cetera. I want to make sure I get at least one episode a week out to you guys, and we are now 3 for 3. Week one, we had Adam Burke on last week, Ari Wasserman, and this week we will chat with Colin Wilson from the Action Network, and I'm putting my producer, Ryan Hunter, to work right away, because Ryan is a maestro with the editing functions there, and Colin Wilson was on the go, so we're going to tweak that for you, but really good stuff from Colin. Always love chopping it up with Colin, and we will get to that conversation here in just a little bit. Some housekeeping in college football, just to kind of get the juices going. We got the ESPN upfront meetings this week, and we got kickoff times for week 0 and week 1. Not all of the weeks, not all of the games, but a handful of them. So I'll run through those here in just a moment. And we also got win totals from Circa. And I went back and I checked on the win totals from DraftKings 6 days ago. I'm recording this on May 14th. How much we've seen movement and what were the big differences between Circa's numbers and DraftKings. We'll run through those for you quickly as well. But let's start with a little fun. And you can start mapping out your fall weekends, your Labor Day weekend now, because we have kickoff times. Week 0, the college football season for another season starts over in Ireland. And I'm sure the Iowa State fans out there are already excited to drink as many Busch Lights as possible. They might have to import them over to Dublin, Ireland. But Iowa State, a 3.5-point favorite against Kansas State over in Dublin, and that will be a noon Eastern kickoff on ESPN on Saturday, August 23rd. Let's go to week 1, where we've got a doubleheader, Boise State at USF. That'll be a kind of a quirky, weird 5:30 Eastern kick time. I'm sure that's going to be hot as hell down in Tampa. And then Nebraska-Cincinnati at Arrowhead, 9 o'clock Eastern kick. Both those games will be on ESPN. Cincinnati, a 6.5-point dog there at Arrowhead. Friday, August 29th, life without Shador and Travis Hunter. Georgia Tech heads to Colorado, and the Rambling Wreck, a 3.5-point favorite. Man, I was hoping that we would get Georgia Tech maybe as a dog or something like that, because there is nothing better than having Haynes King in that underdog role. Go look it up. But that'll be an 8 o'clock Eastern kick on Friday the 29th on ESPN. Triple header on Saturday of Labor Day. Syracuse versus Tennessee. This is a neutral site game in Atlanta. This will be a noon kick. And right now, Tennessee is a 12.5-point favorite. ABC, middle of the day. All these games on ABC. 3:30 Eastern, Alabama and Florida State, a true home game for Florida State here, catching 11.5. We'll talk about this with Colin Wilson, but something to note about this game, Florida State will have a new OC and DC. Gus Malzahn, remember, left UCF as their head coach, maybe preemptively before he got fired. And Tony White, I thought a nice addition there by Mike Norvell to be his defensive coordinator coming over from Nebraska. Alabama, they bring in Ryan Grubb, the reunited situation there. Ryan Grubb reuniting with Kalen DeBoer. Alabama, 11.5-point favorite. And then Clemson and LSU, the battle of who has the true Death Valley at Clemson, prime time. That is going to be a ridiculous atmosphere. And Clemson, a 3-point home favorite against LSU. It is worth noting, Texas and Ohio State was announced on Fox. They did not announce the time. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's going to be the big noon kickoff, right? Noon Eastern there at the Shoe, Texas at Ohio State. Sunday, Virginia Tech in South Carolina. That game is a neutral site game as well. And that one played in Charlotte, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That one on ESPN. And we get a doubleheader on that Sunday. Good job by ESPN. I'll be honest. No tongue in cheek here. I'm being serious because we used to have a Sunday game, which was great, but nothing else. Now we've got a doubleheader, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, and Notre Dame, Miami. Notre Dame, a 2.5-point road favorite at Miami, 7:30 Sunday, August 31st on ABC. And then the weekend wraps up with TCU and UNC, ladies and gentlemen, 8 o'clock, this one in Chapel Hill, and UNC right now, a 2.5-point favorite. And that's a good jump off point because UNC, as I am going to do my best, as I mentioned, to kind of keep track on win totals and movements here. And they were one of the biggest movers of the past week. So I have noted 7 win total movements at DraftKings over the last 6 days. And North Carolina moved 30 cents to the under. So last week on May 8th, when we came on the air and we took a look at these numbers, UNC was 7.5 even money to the under. It's now minus 130 to the under. If you are infatuated by UNC to the under, well, Circa has a little bit better price at minus 110. And staying in the ACC, I noted a handful of differences here in the win total market. DraftKings versus Circa, if you have the ability to bet at both shops, I will give you some differences if you're looking for the best of the number. If you're looking to fade Stanford, DraftKings would be your spot. 3.5 at DraftKings, -15 to the under, while at Circa, they're a flat 3, -25 to the over. If you're looking to fade my Irish, you got to pay a hefty price, but Notre Dame, 10.5, -180 to the under at DraftKings, a flat 10 at Circa, -20 to the over. Notre Dame's opening opponent, Miami, win total at DraftKings, 9.5, -160 to the under, flat 9 at Circa, -110 both ways. This one interesting, Florida State, DraftKings, 6.5, -30 to the over, Circa, 7, -110 both ways. So if you think it's a bounce back season for Florida State, DraftKings would be your spot where you can get 6.5 at -30 as opposed to a flat 7 at -110. I tweeted all these out. You could check them out at 1TimMurray. I won't go over all of them. But the biggest move in the ACC this past week was UNC, 30 cents to the under from even money at 7.5 to -130. No real big movements in the Big 12 except for the Fighting Devin Dampiers. Now, I don't know if this is a market correction or if this was action, and I'll try to find out the answer at some point. I'll reach out to Matt Grill over at DraftKings. But Utah right now, 7.5, -135 to the over at both Circa and DraftKings. But last week, it was even money to the over at DraftKings. So 35-cent move to the over on Utah there at 7.5, -135, same number at both shops. Now, there is a middle opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Sound the alarm with Arizona. Arizona at DraftKings, 4.5 wins, -160 to the over. Circa, 5.5 wins, -140 to the under. So you could, in theory, land that plane right in the middle. You got to pay juice on both sides, but it is worth noting. And as always, shop around and look at the differences that are out there. Cincinnati and Colorado, both 6.5 at DraftKings, 6 at Circa. So if you're looking to fade, let's say, Colorado, 6.5 DraftKings, -30 to the under. And at Circa, it's a flat 6, -25 to the over. So 35-cent move there in the Big 12, the biggest move that I noted over the past week towards Utah. Once again, not sure if that's action or if that's just a market correction with the numbers coming out at Circa, but the big move there. We had 3 25-cent moves at the Big Ten this past week. And let's start with Michigan State. So Jonathan Smith, year number two there. Aiden Childs, a very interesting prospect. Once again, market move or a move based off action or market move, maybe a little bit of both. But Michigan State last week was even money to over 5.5. It's now minus 125 for Michigan State. Worth noting, Circa has Michigan State juiced over at minus 155. So if you think Michigan State is bounced for a bounce back season or going to make a bowl game, minus 125 at DraftKings, 30 cents cheaper than what Circa put out there at minus 155. USC, a big mover this week. 25-cent move to the over. USC moved from minus 105 over 7.5 to minus 130. And Circa, by the way, at minus 145 to over 7.5. Washington, this one moved from plus 135 to plus 110. At DraftKings. So a 25-cent move there for Washington. That also over 7.5. And once again, worth noting, Circa at minus 110 for Washington. So still, was it a correction or was it action? Maybe a little bit of both. And let's go to the SEC. The biggest move of the week was Auburn. Auburn last week was minus 120. To the over at DraftKings. 7.5 wins, minus 120 to the over. It is now minus 160 to the over. Worth noting, Circa, they're sitting at 8, minus 125 to the over. So Brad Powers joined us last year, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he said his price for a half win in college football is 55 cents. So Auburn -7.5, minus 160 now, a 40-cent move from last week. Circa sits at 8, minus 125. Another middle opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, with two teams in the SEC. Florida at DraftKings is 6.5, minus 140 to the over. Circa, 7.5, minus 135 to the under. And Kentucky, Big Blue Nation, at DraftKings, 5.5, minus 70 to the under. Circa 4.5, minus 135 to the over. So there are three, as of right now, middle, pure middle, true middle opportunities between DraftKings and Circa's win totals out there. And that would be Arizona, Florida, and Kentucky. So we'll keep tabs on all of this. But I plan on updating the win totals and the juice and all of that throughout the summer months. But one thing to keep in mind, I'll tweet these out at one Tim Murray, and I'll update these as much as possible. Maybe I'll make the Google Doc a public document that you guys can check out throughout the time. All right. As mentioned, Colin Wilson from the Action Network joined us here. Just a reminder, make sure you check out what we've got going on over at vsin.com. We've got an awesome promo going on right now where you can get a year's subscription, 12 months for 40 bucks off, and we're throwing in two extra free months. So 14 months, $199, vsin.com/subscribe. The promo code is PRO, P-R-O. All right, let's get to my conversation with Colin Wilson of the Action Network. Coming down 3, 2, and 1. And as promised, we keep it rolling here on the podcast. Excited to bring in my good friend from the Action Network, Big Bets on Campus podcast, the one and only Colin Wilson. You can follow him on Twitter at @Colin1. And I know he is very focused on college baseball right now, so I'm giving him a little caveat here to talk some college football. Mr. Wilson, I know you're in the midst of graduation galore, so we appreciate you carving out a couple minutes to talk a little ball with us.
It's eating season, right? We got college football win totals coming out. I've got regionals about to start in college baseball. I've got my oldest son about to enroll at the University of Arkansas, where he is happily going to be wearing red when Notre Dame comes to town. So yeah, it's busy season right now, and I just couldn't be more excited with college football breaking out.
Yeah, no, and Circa dropping their win totals, which we discussed at the start of the podcast, just the differences between Circa and DK, nothing too crazy. So I want to bounce around a little bit with you, but let's start with this. Let's do a little primer. And I think it's important this time of year. Here we are, middle of May. Let's talk about the important coordinator changes. And, you know, because of the NBA playoffs going on right now, NHL, college basketball wasn't too long ago, people might have forgot about all the big moves. So before we get into some of your favorite plays that you've got on the board right now, let's talk about some of the most significant coordinator moves. I'll throw out just a couple, and I'm sure I'm missing a handful, but I'll run through them and then we can kind of discuss. Penn State goes out and they make a big coup. They grab Ohio State defensive coordinator Jim Knowles. Clemson gets Tom Allen to come down and be their defensive coordinator. Notre Dame, they unfortunately lose Al Golden to the NFL. So they go out and get Chris Ash from formerly Texas and Ohio State. Most recently, I believe he was a secondary coach with the Raiders. Alabama, a little reunited, and maybe it'll feel so good as Ryan Grubb is back down with Kalen DeBoer. Ben Arbuckle, I know a lot of people, and I imagine you are too, excited about Ben Arbuckle going to Oklahoma from Washington State. Corey Heatherman, now the new DC of Miami. Gus Malzahn and Tony White, new OC and DC of Florida State. And Ohio State, as mentioned, lost Jim Knowles, so they went and brought the bearded one, Matt Patricia, to town. And Chip Kelly left to go back to the NFL, so they promoted Brian Hartline. So those are just some of the notable ones. Colin, to you, what are some of the most intriguing coordinator hires, either from a good or a bad standpoint?
Well, those are extremely notable. And I think people should know that when I work on my power ratings, a coordinator has the chance to move your power rating 1 to 1.5 point, depending on who it is. Ryan Grubb rejoining Kalen DeBoer is a big deal because of how much success that they've had before. And look at what both of them did when they weren't with each other. So you take that as a plus there. Brian Harsin is now the OC at Cal. Does that open up the offense a little bit? Tom Allen going to Clemson, to me, in my opinion, the fact that Dabo is dipping into the transfer portal and the fact that he is going outside of his assistants and not promoting from within and going to get an elite coordinator like Tom Allen really says a lot about the direction where I think Clemson is heading this year. There's a couple of them out there. Like you mentioned Gus Malzahn. Are we done with this in college football, right? We know the UCF offense was extremely not motivated, didn't work. Explosive plays, that's it. Had no consistency whatsoever. I'm not so sure that's a great fit at Florida State as to where I think Tony White is one of the best hires in college football. One you didn't mention that I think everybody should pay attention to, Willie Fritz getting rid of both his coordinators. Goes out and gets Slade Nagel as his offensive coordinator. This is somebody he's had tremendous success with before. Slade Nagel will be a head coach going somewhere. And Austin Armstrong as a defensive coordinator. Didn't really pan out as defensive coordinator before when he moved up to the Power 4 level, but he was fantastic at the G5 level before. I think Houston has a major bump because of those two hires. There's a couple of them out there, like UMass getting Mike Mahakian as the offensive coordinator. Can the product get worse? Can it get slower? Can it get more boring there with UMass? Holgo being the OC at Nebraska is going to be one of the most interesting things to watch. Steve Belichick being the DC at North Carolina is actually a good point. I know there's a lot of negativity around, some of us sharps that are, kind of trying to size up North Carolina. Kind of have this and that about what Bill Belichick is a coach, but you can't deny what Steve Belichick did as the DC at Washington last year. Notre Dame, you mentioned it. I don't think Chris Ash is a bad defensive coordinator, but what Al Golden did was just a level that I don't think Notre Dame can really get back to from the defensive side. Ben Arbuckle at OU, to me, vaults them way over their current win total, if we're going to give out win totals on this show. You mentioned Penn State, and I know I'm going down the list here, but let's talk about that real quick. Mm-hmm. There was something in that playoff run last year. I was out at the Fiesta Bowl covering it, and James Franklin was asked directly, how much does Andy Kotelnicki have control of the offense? And he talked about the design, the weekly strategy sessions that they have, what they want to do against a team, but he still holds all the play calling on third and fourth and short. And to me, that is a complete limitation It is a complete limitation of Penn State football. Do I think they're properly priced in the market? Yeah. Do I think they're national title contenders? Yeah. But with Jim Knowles coming in, who just did this amazing national championship work, how limited is he going to be on how many times he wants to call cover zero? How many limited is he going to be on how many times that he wants to call a certain package on third and short? So that the limitations with Penn State for me are more about the head coach getting in the way of the coordinators than it is about hiring Jim Knowles himself. I mean, you bought a Porsche, let the Porsche run, right? I think other than that, I think, you know, Stanford should be at least respectable with Frank Reich in place. Shiel Wood for Texas Tech as a defensive coordinator is something people should pay attention to. He's going to be a head coach soon someday. And I think, you know, Philip Montgomery going to Virginia Tech, this is, he was quarterback coach for RG3. There has been success in the past. It's kind of been a failure since then, but as an offensive coordinator at Virginia Tech, maybe we can get more out of him. And then lastly, I think the most perfect fit in college football was Wisconsin football hiring Jeff Grimes, getting away from the Phil Longo spread tempo, going back to Wisconsin football and getting a punch you in the face, I want to run the ball down your throat coordinator like Jeff Grimes. I think it's absolutely perfect.
All right, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's go to Penn State. No, and I love it. That's what you should be doing this time of year. This is exactly what we need to be doing, just putting it all out there. If we got a couple bets, throw them out there. But it's all about, for me, kind of information gathering. So Penn State, Ari Wasserman was on last week on the podcast. I know you were on with Ari and Andy on their podcast as well. And, you know, he made some, I'll put air quotes that no one can see, waves this week, putting Penn State at number one in his top 25. And, you know, do with what you will. I don't think Ari's a hot take guy. He laid it out here on the show, why he ranked them number one. So as we look at them from a betting standpoint, they're 8-1 to win the title at most shops. Their win total is either 10 or 10 and a half. DraftKings is 10 juiced under -160. And Circa is 10 juiced over -125. The 8-1 national championship is, you know, probably tied for fourth, fifth, somewhere in that ballpark, a little bit behind Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia. Look, the positives are pretty clear, right? As you alluded to, two really good coordinators in Knowles and Koldenicki. You've got a quarterback, whether you love him or not, is going to be more than likely a first-round pick, and Aller, maybe the best 1-2 punch at the running back position in the game with Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. You lose Abdul Carter. You lose Tyler Warren. So there are some pieces that obviously left last year, both being first-round picks. So when you look at Penn State, their schedule, not crazy daunting, nothing to note in the non-con. You host Oregon off a bye in late September. You go to Ohio State off a bye November 1st. You host Indiana. No Michigan on the schedule this year. So, you know, and you have to go to Iowa, which is always kind of an annoying place to go. So I'm curious what you make of Penn State, where they're priced right now in the market.
I make them 9.9. And I think they're properly priced in the futures market. Not much deviation off of what I have. I would take the under on if I had to. I'm not going to fade them, but if I had to take a side, I would take the under on them at 9.9. And, you know, I go back to things about Drew Aller that really kind of bug me. And the fact is that he has two problems. One, he cannot identify pre-snap blitz packages. Boise State absolutely ran the same axe blitz over the center, and Nick Dawkins couldn't pick it up. And whatever he relayed back to Aller, Aller changed the protection, and the offensive line always moved the wrong way. You get outside of that, go look at his sack ratio and his throwaway ratio. Drew Aller's never been able to throw the ball away. Think of how many times he left the pocket and was just so uncomfortable trying to throw the ball away. I get that you have a golden arm, and I get that you should be probably the number one pick in the draft, and you're going to be a good NFL quarterback. But right now, his deficiencies are determining pre-snap blitz, and he won't throw the ball away. He'd rather just take a sack. And that's going to cost them. I mean, we're trying to – this is one of the most elite teams in college football. So I'm just trying to poke holes in a little bit. Is why I'm at 9.9 and not somewhere up around 10.6, which is, I think, where SP Plus is going to come in. And, you know, for me, it's an underlean. But you look at the schedule, and it's like, what do we have here? I project that Oregon game to be about – -3.5 at home towards Penn State. So that's going to be a barn burner. I got Ohio State favorite over them. That's a whole nother story. I'm not sure I love Ohio State as much as anybody. I didn't, you know, you lose coordinators like they have. I'm not sure Ohio State should be favored over Penn State. That Iowa game is tricky. Away on the road. I think I project that Penn State -6.5. So, you know, at the same time, there is a path to 9 wins on this schedule. More than likely, probably over 80% of the time, they're finishing up with 10 wins. They're definitely a playoff team. I think my advice on Penn State is they are 100% a playoff team. And if you can find a cheat, make the playoff, which you never can. But if you ever see anything like that, they are a playoff team and they are a national title contender, but there are limitations.
Well, just wait until we go to 16, which I'll talk a little bit more about later on in the podcast. It's funny. I think back to last year. It was early on in the summer, Colin, and we talked about Oregon at, I think, -$2, maybe -210 or something like that to make the playoff. And that was cheap because it closed around -$3 and they went wire to wire undefeated and made a playoff. So, look, I know people don't love laying juice and we don't even have those prices out there yet, but, you know, certainly keep an eye on it. Let's get to Clemson. You know, this is becoming a Penn State Clemson podcast, apparently, because we talked significantly about them last week. And I want to talk about them again. And we've seen movement this week on Clemson in the futures market. Last week, when I recorded with Ari, it was 20-1s at DraftKings, 20-1 at FanDuel. Those are all bye-bye. 16-1 at DraftKings, 14-1 at FanDuel. I saw a little bit of movement in the ACC market this week at DraftKings from +160 down to +155 to win the ACC. FanDuel at +140. Looking at win total of 9.5 for Clemson. You already mentioned it. You've got Tom Allen coming in to be the defensive coordinator. You've seen a Clemson team dip their toe finally into the transfer portal. They've got, in my eyes, the best quarterback returning in the country this upcoming year. So I think you and I are going to be similar here. A lot of people I've talked to, very high on this Clemson team. I am too. I have not bet them yet. I'm late to the party, so I'm mad at myself. But what do you make of the Clemson Tigers in 2025?
I grabbed +170 to win the ACC a couple of weeks ago. I'm seeing the same as you, the little drop in the market there. I project them to be about +110 to maybe -110 to win the ACC. 6 of their 8 ACC games, the Tigers are going to be double-digit favorites. There's no Miami on this schedule. SMU is going to come to Clemson. Louisville is on the road, could be tricky, but it's a revenge game. I'm sure they will be up for that. Georgia Tech, you would think they're testy with Buster Faulkner's offense, but, you know, Clemson didn't have a problem with that team a couple years ago when they played. Now, then again, I think in the ACC, you can lose 2 games, and you can still go to the ACC championship game. I don't see 2 losses on this schedule. Now, as far as national title goes, as far as making the playoff, of course, they're a national title contender, but they're also going to run up against the elites of college football, which they have the 5-star power to compete there. But at the same time, that ACC bet is probably the more likely to either cash or be in position to be in the ACC championship game to cash. And it's at plus money right now. And I guarantee you they will not be an underdog the way things are projecting. Who's going to be a favorite over Clemson in the ACC championship game in Charlotte, like in their backyard? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And then in Cade Klubnik, you mentioned it, 36-6 TD to INT ratio, a huge 12-5 big time throw to turnover worthy play ratio when he had pressure. He's figured it out. I don't think he's being talked about enough. And look at what they did in the portal. Tristan Smith got, what he got, like 5 catches, 137 yards in the spring game. Like, this is the go-to wide receiver. He's going to be the guy. And then linebacker Jeremiah Alexander, they got from Bama, was the leading tackler in the spring game. You combine that with Tom Allen being DC. Yes, I will go with anybody that says national title contender. I'll go with anybody that gets some sort of juiced up price on the playoff. But for me, that ACC championship number, that needs to be played all the way down to about +110.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. And I think I need to get on it before that number continues to drift. All right, let's get to a couple win totals that interest you. And we'll start positively here with Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma made a big splash, and we've seen this before, Colin, where you get the coordinator and you get the quarterback combo, and that's what Oklahoma has done here with Ben Arbuckle and John Mateer. And, you know, whatever rankings you subscribe to, you know, John Mateer probably thought to be the number one, number two, number three transfer. He, Carson Beck, if you want to throw Nico in there, sure, from a quarterback standpoint. So in a year that there hasn't been enormous splashes out there, you know, a year after Dylan Gabriel goes to Oregon and Will Howard goes to Ohio State and Riley Leonard goes to Notre Dame and Cam Ward goes to Miami, you know, John Mateer might be, you know, the big splash. And then, you know, I know a guy that you and I watched a lot out at Cal, Jaden Ott. That was a nice little fall in your lap addition there during the spring portal. So Oklahoma, I'm looking at it right now. Circa is 7 wins minus 30 to the over, and DraftKings is 6.5 wins minus 50 to the over right now. What do you make of the Sooners in what feels like a pretty big make or break type of year for Venables down there in Norman?
Yeah, Venables, I think off the record, I don't think it's really public, but I think he was basically told, like, change everything on offense, go hands off, let somebody else run it. And they hit a home run, a grand slam out of the park with Ben Arbuckle and John Mateer coming in as a combo package. By the way, that's not the only OC quarterback combo package that I think is going to change a lot of teams' dynamic a la Utah this year. But what they got is essentially a cheat code. They got Bo Jackson from Super Technical with John Mateer. I mean, a 1,000-yard rusher. I can't even – if you haven't seen any tape on this kid or you just didn't get the chance to watch the CW last year where Washington State was playing, it's definitely worth a watch. I mean – he only had 4 turnover-worthy plays, and he had 128 pressure dropbacks. That's impressive. 4 mistakes and 128 pressure dropbacks. The fact that it's a 1,000-yard rusher, and most of that comes off design runs and not scrambles, all of that is really big. Think about OU in 2024 from a health perspective. Wide receiver unit completely wiped out. Offensive line, 5 guys that had never played with each other before, all of them injured. We're going from Jackson Arnold, who completely flamed out, busted out, to a freshman quarterback. You couldn't have had as much worse luck in the world as OU did on the offensive side of the ball last year. So now, what are we complaining about after the spring game? Coaches came out and said, well, we need to find a tight end. We need to find a tight end in the portal. If you go look at John Mateer's numbers from last year, he targeted his tight end for 13 catches. I think John Mateer is going to be okay without a go-to tight end here. So just find an extra guy to block on the line, that'd be fine. You know, I do make this, what do I make this, 8? Yeah, so I am a part of that team. I got 6.5 minus 110. I would still take it at 7. I would lightly play it at 7.5 because that's where we're going. Comfortable favorites in 5 games. Coin flips against Michigan, South Carolina, Mizzou, LSU. This is a buy. This is a buy. Oklahoma leveled up in competition last year in the SEC. I think they'll be well more prepared this year.
All right, let's get to the team that you know better than anybody on planet Earth, and that would be Woo Pig Suey, the Arkansas Razorbacks. And right now, the win total sits at 5.5 for the Hogs. 5.5 plus 105 to the over at Circa, even money to the over at DraftKings. So if you want the under, minus 20 at DraftKings, minus 25 at Circa. Schedule, who, buddy? Week 3 at Ole Miss. Week 4, how about this sandwich spot? Ole Miss, Memphis, and then hosting Notre Dame. Bye week at Tennessee, A&M, maybe a better Auburn team, and you get LSU and Texas on the road. So a daunting schedule for your Hogs there. So before we get to the Super Bowl between you and me, Notre Dame and Arkansas on September 27th, What do you make of Woo Pig Suey here another pretty critical season, right, for where we're looking at here from a coaching standpoint, whether or not Sam Pittman's going to keep that job after 2025?
Well, what's interesting is you mentioned Auburn on there, right? Like, you're trying to find wins on the schedule. Auburn might be coming in with one of the best sets of wide receivers in the nation. And, I mean, range we've seen if Jackson Arnold can hit it again. But one of the best wide receiver groups in the nation, and Arkansas leaves the spring game with Pittman saying, we desperately need help in the portal from the secondary. We need to shore up a lot of things we're missing in the secondary. Well, if Auburn's one of those winnable games, that's a real problem. Now, you know, there's a lot of things going on with Arkansas that people don't know about. I mentioned it on Andy and Ari's show that there was a little bit of a tiff between the wide receiver unit and Taylor Green. Well, local media picked up on that and decided to take me to task and then went to their sources up at the Hill and said, you know, that's completely inaccurate and false. I will only say this. My source is as close to the team as it possibly can be, and I am not in the wrong here when it comes to Taylor Green and his rift with the wide receiver group from last year. And the problem is that Taylor Green does not throw an accurate ball, or he didn't throw an accurate ball last year. The problem is he does not read RPOs correctly. He makes wrong decisions. He ends up out in the flats on the sidelines and has to throw a bomb. Now, I love Taylor Green, and I love his work ethic. He's the first one there. He's the last one out. I don't think that I'd take that as a negative towards Taylor Green. But the bump up from Boise State to Arkansas was a huge adjustment for him. Now, the problem is all the new wide receivers at Arkansas on offense, looks like from the spring game, we pretty much filled out our guys in the slot. We have no answers at wideout, zero answers at wideout. So there is a serious experience issue. And we're struggling to find explosive plays out there other than Taylor Green just taking off and running with his legs. Now, I project him at 4.7. I got about 56% experience on both sides of the ball. But let's just talk about the psyche of this team. Like, Pittman has been kind of on his way out. 2 years ago, did not like all the comments that were made about him personally. Last year, he's coaching from a cart because of his health. Travis Williams is being mentioned at the DC, is being mentioned as a head coach at other places. I think this is it. I think this is a swan song year for Arkansas, and I don't see them making a bowl. Five wins, I believe, is a financial mark for Sam Pittman here. There's nothing in there about him making a bowl. If he goes at four wins, I believe the buyout takes a huge shave. So you look at this schedule, double-digit underdogs, Notre Dame, Tennessee, LSU, Texas. I have them only favored in four games against Alabama A&M, Arkansas State, Memphis, and Mississippi State. And I'd say those last two are not slam dunk gimmies. This is a brutal schedule. This is a roster that has extreme churn on the back end of the defense and at the wide receiver position. This is one of those things where a couple injuries can – and let's talk about quarterback, right? Madden Iamaleva, Nico's little brother, was not just projected to be our second-string quarterback. He was projected to potentially go against Talen and maybe take some snaps away from him as a starter. Well, Madden's gone. He joined his brother at UCLA. So, Malachi Singleton, last year's backup, went to Purdue. I mean, this Arkansas team is going to hobble into the fall camp, and they are a couple injuries away from having literally nobody. So I love my Hogs. Blue Pig Suey. I hope we do well in Omaha. I would make it to Omaha. Cal is retooling that roster. I'm not very high on what this football team is going to do. I like under 5.5.
Yeah, and you know me. I love situational spots, and that Memphis game is a brutal spot where you're at Ole Miss, and then the following week you're hosting Notre Dame. And in the middle, you got to go to the Liberty Bowl to take on Memphis. So pretty interesting spot from a scheduling standpoint there.
Are you making a side bet on the Arkansas-Notre Dame game?
Yeah, so
I projected about 11, right? I don't know what the number's going to come out of, but I projected as Notre Dame by 11 on the road. So.
We have to have some fun with it because I'll be honest, you know me as a Notre Dame fan and most of my listeners do too. I'm more pessimistic than most, you know, and when I see a road tilt with a young quarterback, you start the year at Miami bye week and then Texas A&M. So your two biggest games of the year in theory are weeks 1 and 3. And then you get a little, you know, tune up, so to speak, against Purdue. And then you go on the road to Razorback Stadium. So I'd be curious too, Colin, what time that game is going to kick, because you and I were texting back and forth. It felt like a month or so ago, because initially I thought, all right, this is probably a prime time situation here. But instead, you're looking at Bama, Georgia's that day, LSU, Ole Miss is that day. Oregon, Penn State, we might as well put that already in the big noon kickoff. So I don't know what time this is going to kick, but what's kind of already the feel about Notre Dame coming to Fayetteville for the first time, I want to say, in history?
Yeah, it's electric. There's a lot of fans in the fan base that are also Notre Dame fans. You have to remember the thing about Arkansas, the state of Arkansas. It's a very transient, I'm not saying it's Las Vegas, but it's a very transient place because a lot of people are from Iowa. A lot of people are from Wisconsin. Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods have brought people in from all over the United States. And there's a lot of people from Big Ten territory that have found out that Northwest Arkansas is a beautiful place to live. I'm not so sure Razorback Stadium is 70% full of Razorback fans. And I'm just being completely honest. The way things are going to the fan base and the way that they feel about Pittman, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Notre Dame has a load of fans there and a percentage of them are people that live locally. So as far as the time goes, do you know who's picked this up? Is it Peacock? Is it ESPN? Do you know who's...
It'll be ESPN because Peacock NBC is just Notre Dame home games. So this will be an ESPN game, and ESPN will also have Bama, Georgia, and LSU Ole Miss. So if I had to guess, I don't know, we'll be looking like the 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern kick. That would be my way too early guess.
We might get the Jefferson Pilot time spot up there. but the thing is, we should be 3-1, right? Alabama, A&M, Arkansas State, Memphis. Although, you know, I got Memphis projected at like 8.5. So if Arkansas can take those games, I mean, I'm not even considering Ole Miss a win. So a 3-1 team, that might get us a little bit more curb appeal for the ratings. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about how many fans actually show up, how many have given up on the program, and the fact that Notre Dame travels better than anybody in the nation. I'm going to back Arkansas when you and I go head-to-head on this, but the feelings are not warm on here.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be one of those situations where you're an Arkansas fan, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and we both hate the side because I know there's going to be a big plus sign by Arkansas. The public's probably going to be all over Notre Dame, especially if they're off to a 3-0 start. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that ultimately plays out there.
All right, so let me say this. But the interesting thing is that Chris Ash, your new defensive coordinator, was actually beaten as coordinator back in 2013 at Arkansas. So, you know, there's some familiarity, at least with the venue, from a Chris Ash perspective.
All right, I'll let you run because you're busy and you got a lot going on. I want to do one game of the year. Week one, we've got Utah at UCLA. Differing lines out there. DraftKings has this UCLA plus 2.5. FanDuel has it UCLA plus 3.5. What do you make of this season opener? We don't know the time yet. My guess would be late night out at the Rose Bowl. Utah, UCLA, week one. What interests you here?
A cavernous Rose Bowl, I'm expecting, since they don't draw a lot of fans.
Look, I mentioned the OC quarterback portal/job move, and Utah is one of those. Devin Dampier is absolutely electric. I'm not sure how many people listening actually watched New Mexico football last year. 19 rushing touchdowns. He created 54 missed tackles. And I just want everybody to pause and kind of like realize like that's like 20 or 30 short of Genty, right? I mean, we're talking about a quarterback that is one of the most elusive in all of college football, not as a quarterback, as just a runner, period. 900 yards off designed rushing attempts. He gets that Utah offense back on track. And his offensive coordinator, Jason Beck, comes over from New Mexico too. There's no playbook learning curve here whatsoever. You go to the UCLA side, Eric Bieniemy is out at OC. Tino Sunseri is coming in. You're going to have a little bit of a change, a little some wrinkles going on in the playbook. I mean, Eric Bieniemy was just throwing the ball way too much with an offense that should have been running. At least it did for years with Chip Kelly. And then you got Nico Iamaleva. Let me get this straight, Tim. You're going to take Nico, who had a 25% pressure to sack ratio. The kid could not get out of his own way, tripped over his own feet, and always got sacked and could not get out of the pocket. And his first look is going to be against Morgan Scalley's 4-2-5 defense. I don't like anything about this. I did fire on the money line. It was minus 135. This is a game I project at 4. I will say that I know SP Plus is at 7. I don't think this thing is done moving. So if you can get under a field goal, I would say go fire away. And if you're comfortable with the minus 140-ish or so on the money line, you can do that too. But I only see this move going one direction, and that's in Utah's way.
DraftKings right now, Utah minus 130. So if you like the Utes, and look, we are a pro Devin Dampier podcast here. I put him in my top 10 quarterbacks going into 2025. I think he's going to be awesome there at Utah. Colin, I know you're busy, man. You've got like 45 graduations and a lot of Catholic masses to go to. So we appreciate you jumping on, man.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim. Talk to you soon.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, wrapping things up here on the podcast. Thanks again to Colin Wilson for jumping on. Always a fan of Colin and the work that he puts in at underscore Colin1. I'm sure we'll check in with Colin later on in the summer months and maybe with a little bit of a better connection there. But once again, he's a busy man. He's got a kid graduating from high school. So I appreciate him just carving out some time. And anytime we talk to Colin, I always say, hey, man, how much time you got? And we end up going longer than that. So Colin, much appreciated, sir. Check out his podcast feed, the Big Bets on Campus podcast. He is one of the better college baseball handicappers out there. Shouts to my guy, Matt Grissom, as well. Matt does a great job, and he joins me every Saturday moving forward on VSiN's weekend morning line. Yeah, just a reminder, my schedule throughout the summer months, Saturday and Sunday, check me out, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, and then VSiN primetime, usually on Monday, Tuesdays, but we're all changing that up, certainly with schedules throughout the summer months. So that is where we're at. So a lot going on. I think I got to get on Clemson ACC. That number's moved a little bit. You heard Colin and his numbers on Clemson to win the ACC. And I was talking to Ari Wasserman, who said last week on the show that he would hammer or pound, one of those two words, Clemson future at 20-1. Well, it was either him or somebody out there took his advice, because that number at 20-1 no longer exists. And right now, Circa sits at 12-1 on Clemson to win the title. DraftKings down to 16, FanDuel down to 14. So you have seen some movement there on the Clemson Tigers. I think for me, I'm going to ultimately go in on them to win the ACC. I've already missed the best of the number, and it's on the move once again. So I might jump in now at plus 155 on DraftKings. And, you know, we'll do this throughout the summer. We'll kind of keep tabs of all of our best bets. I did want to close with this, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're a college football fan. And obviously, we are here to talk almost 99% of the time about gambling. And I'll throw in some, you know, fun stuff over the summer months. Fun for me, scheduling quirks, you know, bowl games when they're announced in early June, all of that. But the news coming out, or that has been reported by Ross Dellinger regarding the playoff, is to me pretty frustrating. And the latest news is that there is a push from the SEC and the Big Ten to have this tournament be auto bids. Right now, as we sit, there are five auto bids being handed out. The four power conferences and one group of five, and then seven at-larges. And in order to get a bye, currently, you have to win your conference championship. So we saw last year Notre Dame not get a bye because they can never win a conference championship. We saw Ohio State not get a bye. And was that a disadvantage for Oregon? Certainly possible when you look at how that Rose Bowl played out there on New Year's Day. But the reports now that we could be headed towards a 16-team playoff and 13 auto bids, I just, as a college football fan and a massive proponent of the expanded playoff to 12, and I think this year played out amazingly well. When you look at the importance of the conference championship games, whether it be Oregon and Penn State playing for a bye, whether it be Georgia winning the SEC and catapulting up to number two, they obviously lost Carson Beck in that game, so that was a massive disadvantage. You think back to Arizona State and Iowa State, a true play-in situation for the Big 12. Boise State, UNLV, true play-in for the group of five. SMU, Clemson. Clemson wins. They come in, they steal a bid, and then SMU, because it was close, they take the bid from Alabama. So there was a lot of intrigue the final weekend of the regular season. You see a team like Miami lose to Syracuse, and they're eliminated from playoff contention in the last week of the season. A team like Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. I thought the regular season was as compelling as any we've seen in recent years. And there was a lot of belief that the expanded playoff would water down the regular season. Now, could you make the argument that Ohio State lost to Michigan final week of the regular season and they still got in the old form? They wouldn't have got in. I'll listen to it. Notre Dame lost to a middle of the road MAC team and they still got in. I'll listen to it. But also, I think having the ability to have a mulligan, to lose if you're Alabama to Vanderbilt, but still be alive, to me, kind of added that intrigue. But now if we're going to four auto bids for the SEC, four auto bids for the Big Ten, two for the ACC, two for the Big 12, one group of five, I just, why does the SEC and the Big Ten need to do this? You look at who is in your conference, and I understand the SEC was probably butthurt over the fact that Ole Miss and Alabama and South Carolina didn't get in this year. Okay. But with the expanded playoff to 16, two, if not all three, would have got in this year, right? Why do you need the guarantee of four teams in the SEC, four teams in the Big Ten? If you want to water down what, in my opinion, is the best regular season in all of sports. Look, we're watching the NBA playoffs right now. I love the NBA playoffs. And this is no knock at JVT, who busts his butt all year long and handicaps the NBA as well as anybody that I know, and Zach Cohen and Kelly Bidlin, et cetera, at VSiN. It's a hard watch for me, day in and day out in the NBA. And I think the same can be said about Major League Baseball, the NHL. Look, the NFL regular season is king, will always be king, right? We've got a special on VSiN on Wednesday night regarding the schedule reveal. It will be king. It will continue to be king. But you're allowed multiple losses in the regular season and still are able to make the playoff. And are we headed towards that? It certainly seems like that is the case. I know expansion is inevitable. And I think 14, to me, would be pretty appealing. You still get a couple of buys. More than likely, it'll be a buy of the SEC and the Big Ten. But to go to 16 and have these auto bids, and then the ridiculous thought of you're going to have a 3-6 and a 4-5 play-in situation on championship weekend? Like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to, I don't want to say ruin, but why are we trying to mess with the best product in all of sports, in my opinion, the football regular season? Look, I am loving the fact that we have some really true home-and-home games brewing. Look at this year. We've got Alabama at Florida State. We've got LSU at Clemson, Notre Dame at Miami. I know that's part of the ACC agreement, so maybe we push that to the side. But you also got Oklahoma, Michigan. You've got Ohio State and Texas. Like, this is phenomenal. That's great for the sport. And I guess if you are expanding it to 16, these conferences are saying, well, that will allow us to play more of these games to give us more wiggle room to ultimately make the playoff. But the auto bids for a conference champ, I didn't like, but I'll accept. You need to have some sort of certainty for your champion to be in the playoff. But I think the short-sightedness of this is just insane to me. And I understand a 9-game SEC schedule versus a 9-game Big 12 schedule is hard to compare, but it all kind of figures itself out ultimately. And I think if we're looking at this from an auto bid standpoint, I don't understand it, because who's to say that the SEC can't have six teams in a 16-team field? Stop messing with the best product that is out there. We don't want this sport to be the minor leagues of the NFL. And I get it is technically the minor leagues of the NFL. These guys go on to play on Sundays, but there's a unique aspect to this sport and why we watch it every Saturday. I don't love all of the realignment, but I understand why we got it, because of money and television. But to me, If you want to expand to 16 teams for the college football playoff, we all knew it was coming. But to ensure that four teams from the SEC and four teams from the Big Ten are always in is just asinine. You're going to get that almost every single year. Why do you need the guarantee? You're going to eliminate a conference championship game, which if we go to 14, or excuse me, go to 16, it's hard to imagine how those conference championship games are still going to be there, because now if it's 16 and it's a normal bracket, then you're not playing for a bye like you did last year in the SEC, last year in the Big 12, last year in the Big 10. And I saw coming out of the ACC meetings this week, there was pushback. Good. I hope there is. It seems likely because the two biggest conferences have the biggest voice, the Big 10 and the SEC. This is what they want. But stop tinkering with the sport that is the best regular season out there. All right, that's my two cents on that. I didn't curse, so I was proud of myself there. You can tweet me at @1TimMurray. If I am completely wrong, that's fine. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Let's keep this momentum rolling all throughout the summer months. Thanks again to Ryan Hunter, my producer of this podcast. Thanks to Colin Wilson for joining us here on the podcast. Once again, if you do have a guest that you would like to hear from, a couple of tweets came in, and I appreciate that, and I'm going to work on trying to get some of those guys on the podcast. But if you do have a suggestion of who you'd like to hear from on this podcast, shoot me a note at @1TimMurray, or give us a 5-star review and put in the description, "I would like to hear from ... And that would definitely have me working hard if you give us that 5-star review. So let's keep compiling those 5-star reviews, and let's keep building up that summer portfolio. I think we're going to do it. Let's go add Clemson +155 to win the ACC at DraftKings to that summer portfolio. We'll be back next week. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.